Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
We are going to finish up the book of Ephesians, which is kind of sad because there's been so much great stuff in this book. You ought to see my Bible laid up here on the desk. It's filthy already with, the oil from the skin, and then the pages are taped together, and many of the tears in the pages are taped, and then the book spine split right there, and chapter 2, 3, and 4, part of 5 is just sitting here in my hand. I mean, you know, this book just go to war out, just worn out. Anyway, I'm sad to see it go, but we need to keep moving on. So we're going to finish up Ephesians chapter 6 here today, and pray God will really bless you with the words that are in the closing remarks that Paul has for us. Well, let's begin reading with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, now remember yesterday, verse 18, praying always. And then he says, well, you're praying, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. Now, Paul is very open with the congregation here, with the men in Ephesians, in Ephesus, the saints that are there. Wrapping up the letter, he tells them a few very personal things about himself and expresses his love for them and offers a blessing, praying God's grace upon them. But you know, in doing this, he actually gives us instruction on some things we need. So today we're going to talk about what you need. What you need. You know, I know you look at that and you say, now, how can you get anything about what I need out of there? But watch what Paul says. It's a demonstration of what you and I need. First of all, he says to them, I need your prayers. Pray for boldness, right? Okay, then, you and I need to be bold. If Paul the Apostle, as great a Christian as he was, actually had people praying that he would be bold, and you saw how he was bold, just imagine what you and I need. He asked them, and it was a very humbling thing, I want boldness. Pray that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, we need to be bold then when we preach the gospel. And listen, it was something from the very beginning of the church that the disciples knew they needed. And so they prayed for it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, and now, Lord, this is their prayer. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What happened? Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together with together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, they got an answer to their prayer. And you know something? We, today, as Christians, are not very bold. We lack boldness to be able to come right out and tell people about how to get saved. And the reason is, we have this thing in us that we just don't like, and I say we, I'm not pointing this out just as your problem, because I've got this very big problem myself. While we're talking about this, I would ask you to pray that I would have boldness. There's this thing about ridicule and reproach that's inside of me, I suppose inside of you, and it's just devastating that there are times when we really need to stand up firmly upon the Word of God, look somebody right in the eye, and tell them, you have got to get saved. You've got to trust Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven. And oh, we just want to mealy mouth around sometimes and say, you know, Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. And oh, I sure wish you'd come to Jesus. And You know, we sound so wimpy about it sometimes, it's amazing that anybody wants to get saved in our testimony. Truth of the matter is, God has done great things for us, and we have to overcome this temptation of the flesh to soften up the Word. We've got to be able to speak the Word of God with boldness, because there are times when people are going to threaten us. I love to preach on the street, and there are times when people have come up to me and threatened me while we were preaching on the street. And you know, you've got to kind of, you have to rely upon God to give you utterance to keep preaching and preaching boldly, because you know that there may come physical harm as a result of preaching. You know, we need to be able to stand up there. Listen, the people are having trouble accepting what God has said, and it is a great torment to their flesh and their spirit, recognizing that they have to humble themselves and come to Jesus Christ. And we've got to be able to stand there and say, folks, you've got to get saved. So we need boldness. And that's what Paul was praying for. So when he said that, he demonstrated to us, that's what you and I need. We need to be bold. Paul recognized in his ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that there was a great door and effectual open unto me, and there are many adversaries. You know, it's easy to get scared off by the adversaries and just shut your mouth and say, man, I'm just not going to say anything. I'll let God choose somebody else. You know, Moses had a hard time with it. He said, God, get somebody else to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. So he got Aaron to talk to him, and that was a mistake, because Aaron buckled under the pressure later, and he was the one that made the golden calf that got the Jews in trouble with God. Listen, Paul, in talking to the Corinthian church, had to straighten out a lot of mess there. But they had been enticed by some pretty slick talkers. And Paul went to them and he told them, listen, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I've noticed something today, and I think you probably have too, that men are real careful about what they say and the way they say it today. You know, I notice there are a lot of men that don't come on boldly anymore. They come on soft. They come on gentle. They come on, I don't want to say wimpy, although some of them do. They come on, but they come on real slick, actually. And you know, what I've noticed when people talk to me that way, I get the impression that they're not telling me the truth. When somebody is not bold, when somebody's not forthright, when somebody's not coming on with a lot of conviction, when they're coming on with enticing words, I think there's something hidden in the message, and that I'm going to get tripped up, and somehow or another, once I buy into the deal, I'm going to regret it and have a buyer's remorse. And I think a lot of people in Christianity, they say, oh, they're turned off when you come out there and you just blow and say, you got to get saved, and you know, hell is real and all that kind of stuff. You need to soften up your message. But you know, Paul said, let your speech be always with grace. I grant you, we've got to be gracious. Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt, he said, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There are some men you've got to talk real straight to. People, I find, if they're not talking straight to me, I don't want to listen to them. They come on with a little presentation, I'll turn them off. Because I've been lied to by so many people that are trying to pad their own pocket. I pretty much have a cynical view now that if they're smooth talking, they're lying. So how do you know he's lying? Well, his mouth is open. You know how that goes. Words are coming out. Paul wasn't like that. Paul came right out there in demonstration of the Spirit of power, was not concerned about using enticing words, and because he didn't want their faith to stand in the wisdom, in his wisdom, but in the power of God. And so the gospel is a little bit unique in that if you soft sell it, you may run off more people or mislead more people than you'd hope to. And, you know, Paul never said in this prayer, he said, pray for me to have a more professional quality about my tone of voice, a more professional quality about my sound system, a more professional quality about my production studio. He didn't come in with soft violin music in the middle of the message and have a nice little thing about the price you'd have to pay to buy his message in order to have it long after he left town. He never came in with the sweet little frilly music at the end of the thing and the nice soft-spoken godly man that had something to say about, you know, how pleasant the message was today and how we can apply it into our lives. He just was there. He didn't say, make a more professional presentation out of what I'm doing. He said, pray that I might have boldness, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. For I am ambassador in bonds, and therefore that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And he was bold. Today, churches are more like rest homes, where you just keep the people at rest, or more like a civil war. There's a big split brewing. Today, churches are like a nursery, where you've got to just sit there and pamper a bunch of babies. Today, a lot of churches are like a dance club, where there's so much hip-hop music going to the thing today. People are sitting there clapping their hands and stomping their feet and having a big pep rally. Some churches are like a cocktail parlor today. The music is so sensual and sweet and romantic that you're in love with the feeling of Jesus Christ more than the man Jesus Christ and his word. Some are like a roller rink. They're all destined to be a big youth program, which after all are the future generation. But if you take their skates away from them, they're going to leave. And many of them are like a country club. It's a big social deal to make contact with other people so that you can get good business out of them. And so, you know, you go there because it's a big country club setting. Listen, that's not any of those. They're none of those a reason to have a church. None of those. Paul, when he preached, he was interested in one thing and one thing only. And this is what he was interested in. He was interested in this. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You'd be amazed how important that message is today. There are still a lot of lost people in Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Houston, Beeville, Victoria, Edna, Ganado, McAllen, Brownsville, Hidalgo, Alamo, Edinburgh. All over the South Texas region, Rockport, Aransas Pass, Portland, Ingleside, you know, the whole Sinton, Skidmore, Normanna, Papalote. They're lost people everywhere. And they need to know the gospel. And they need somebody who is willing to be bold to stand up and say, I am willing to be recognized with Christ. And Paul, if he was willing to admit to the Ephesians that he needed a prayer for boldness, then just think what we need. We need boldness. All right, now what else do you and I need? What do we need? Well, the next thing we need is found in verse 20. Paul said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therefore, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to remember that we are ambassadors. You are an ambassador. Now, Paul was an ambassador in bonds. The ambassador is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where Paul said to the Corinthians, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Listen, Jesus Christ ascended already to heaven. He's gone. He left us here as his body, filled us with his Holy Spirit, and told us, with a specific command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's our command. Now, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a foreign country. Do you represent a foreign country? Why, of course you do. The foreign country you represent is heaven. You're down here into this world. You have entered into a foreign land. You are as a stranger and a pilgrim. And you've come down here and you need to beseech people to be reconciled to God in Christ's stead, because Christ is not here. You're standing in for him just like an ambassador stands in for his government in a foreign land to represent them in, you know, negotiations. So you and I are ambassadors. Now, Paul was an ambassador in bonds. He had the opportunity to stand before kings, and he went to a lot of different countries. One day he's preaching to King Agrippa, and he questioned him. He said, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa answered. He said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He was sitting there, locked up in a chain, witnessing to a king, and the king listened to him. Paul nearly won that old King Agrippa to Jesus Christ right there on the spot. Now, are you the kind of a person you could stand before a judge? Woo, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Locked up, you know, and say, Judge, I pray God you'd get saved. Listen, we're not locked up. We're free to go tell to this world about Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of things you can do as an ambassador. First of all, and I think this is great, you can tell the people in your neighborhood, the people that you work with, and your family members how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because they're still in the world. If they're lost, you're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to represent Jesus Christ. He is counting on you as his ambassador. Are you a faithful ambassador? Or does he want to pull you out of the ambassador role and send somebody else in your place? And you have to ask yourself the question, if I don't do it, who will he send? Who knows these people as well as I do? All right, another way to be a good ambassador is to take some of your money. I don't mean what you're giving to the church in the way of your tithe or anything. I'm talking about extra. Take some of your money and send it to a foreign missionary or several. I mean, really, say, well, I don't know any. Well, get hooked up with a local church that puts foreign missionaries on the field that aren't there just to bide a little time, but that are there to really try to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and are getting the work done. That's a great way to be ambassador because now you are spreading yourself literally worldwide. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. If you don't know what it is to support missionaries on a foreign field trying to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to find out. You need to get hooked up with a local church that does that, that's personally acquainted with those missionaries and prays for those missionaries. You'd be amazed at what God is doing around the world, seriously, in leading souls to Jesus Christ. All right, then Paul says this. He says in verse 21, "But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." You know what he's telling them? I've got a friend in the ministry, and I want you to know what's going on with me. What does that tell you that you need? That tells you you need friends in the ministry. You do. You've desperately got to have friends in the ministry. Now, here's the thing I find disgusting about Christians today. There are many Christians, some of whom I know personally, that will not go to church. They think they can do their Christianity at home or in the field or, you know, whatever. They got mad. They got burned. Something went wrong in a church. The pastor, you know, committed an act of indiscretion. The treasurer was caught stealing money. There was something going on there that they didn't agree with. Any kind of excuse will do for you to stay home on Sunday and watch golf. You know that. Well, anyway, what happens to you is that you just drop out. I mean, you're saved, you pray, you read a little Bible, you try to raise your kids, right? But you're not really in fellowship with God's people. You don't really have any friends in the ministry to speak of. You've got an acquaintance here and there. But as far as that's concerned, y'all might play golf together, you might play tennis together, you might go fishing together. But as far as doing something in the ministry together, not hardly. Not hardly. You've got to have friends in the ministry. Paul did. In the book of Colossians, for instance, in Colossians chapter 4, Paul writes, look at this stuff. He lists all these people. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. These guys were working together. Paul was working together with Timothy. Paul was working together with Titus. Paul was working together with Tychicus. Faithful minister, fellow servant, beloved brother. Do you have somebody like that? You know what? The Bible says in Proverbs, Solomon said this. He was a wise man. You ought to pay attention to this. You know what Solomon said? Solomon said this. Solomon said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You think you could sit there in front of the television and watch somebody on TV and get all the spiritual food you need for the week? You're not listening to what Paul said. He said, well, I've been to 4 or 5 churches and I just blah, blah, blah. Listen. There are hundreds of churches in Corpus Christi alone. You ever look in the Yellow Pages? I haven't seen you down here. Why don't you come down here and try this place out? I just put that in. I mean, it's worth a try. You're listening to the radio broadcast. You're getting something out of the Word of God that's stirring you up. The Holy Spirit's blessing it to some extent in your life and bringing conviction in your life. You need to do something with God. Why don't you try it out? We always give the location of the church at the end of the broadcast. You ought to try it out sometime. Really, I'm serious now. And make some friends and get together with those friends and do something for Jesus Christ while there is still time. Tychicus did with Paul. He had Onesimus in verse 9. He had Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas. He had Justus. He had Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Do you labor fervently for people in prayer? Do you labor fervently with fellow prisoners and fellow workers and fellow laborers with Christ to try to do something to bring souls to Christ, to help out in the ministry? He had Demas for a while. He had Luke, the beloved physician that was accompanying him all the way through. Listen, Paul had a lot of friends in the ministry. They knew him so well that they could actually go to a place like Ephesus and report all things. So, shall make known to you all things. They knew everything that was going on with Paul. It wasn't just a casual acquaintance. It wasn't one of these deals where you pick up the phone, you hadn't been in church in a month, and say, now what's going on with the preacher? You know, that's just, I know I sound harsh. I just do it. I mean, I'm just making fun. I'm just making fun because there are so many people like that. You say, how do you know that? Listen, I've been door to door in lots of places trying to talk to souls about the Lord Jesus Christ and have met a lot of folks, and there are a lot of folks who profess to be saved, and I believe they are. They have a good testimony. They won't go to church. They got burned somehow. But you know what? From time to time, they pick up the telephone. They talk bad about what's going on down at the other place they used to be. And I'm just going to ask you a question. You know, if you're trying to stay a little bit informed, why don't you get real informed and get on your knees in Wednesday night prayer meeting and pray with them over their health problems, over their lost friends, over the missionaries, and get to know folks and get them to know you and make friends in the ministry. Paul had them, and if it's good enough to Paul, as good as he was in the ministry, why wouldn't it be good for you? Okay, what have we found out so far from his letter? Well, you need to be bold. You need to be an ambassador. You need friends in the ministry. You need friends in the ministry. Now, you see that, you look at that thing, you say, you know, I can see that in there. So can I. If this stuff was good for Paul, it's definitely good for us. Okay, you need to be bold. You need to be an ambassador. You need friends in the ministry. What else do you need? You need to love the brethren and other people in the ministry. Look what he says here, that you minister to, I'm talking about. Look what he says here in verse, what is that, 23? He said, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what about Paul. That wasn't just an idle salutation, loving Christ. Oh, you know, I appreciate when people come to me and say, I love you in the Lord. Don't you? It's nice to hear that. Really nice to hear it when you know they do. Because there have been a number of people in your life that have come to you and said something about loving you. But you know what? It became sort of a cliche. It was a practice in the church. They did it in Sunday school, or they did it in a little Bible study class, or they did it amongst the people in the church, or there was a brief time during the service where you reach over and shake hands with somebody, you know, and you know, love you in the Lord and that kind of stuff. And it gets so easy to say, but we know that we're living in a time shortly now the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back. We're close to that time, very close to that time, I believe. I don't know. I can't say months, days, or years. I don't know how close it is. I've got friends that say up to 10 years from now, I can believe that. Might be longer, maybe shorter. I don't know, but I know we're close. But Jesus Christ told us when that happens, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, it's very easy to say I love you and not mean it. He said, how do you know that? Well, remember back to the teenage years? How easy it was for a fella to say to a girl or a girl to say to a fella, I love you, but the interest was really purely physical? You see, you learn that at a very early age. And you get into a church, you say, I love you. Well, you know, really? Well, not really that much, but, you know, enough to be able to say it. He said here, love with faith, and it was to the brethren. You need to love the brethren, the people that you minister to. If you don't, all of your work that you're trying to do for them is going to be worthless anyway. Because Paul said charity was the absolute governing rule of determining the motive of your heart. He said if you could prophesy and you could speak with the tongues of angels and of men, and you didn't have charity, nothing. If you gave your body to be burned, gave all your goods to the poor, nothing. If you had all faith and all knowledge and no charity. Nothing. Total profitless life. So I'd say to you, you really need to get down on your knees before the Lord and say, now, Lord, did you really mean what you said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23? Because if you did, and I'm not doing this, I need you to fix my heart right now. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You've done that. Thank God. Thank God that you got saved. Thank God you believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven, praise God. But there's a more up. It's one commandment. It's got two parts. Here's the second part. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You've got a command to do that. Now, I know you've tried to do some things to help people out, make a dish, take it to the house, write a nice card, send some flowers. And if your real motive wasn't love, you ran out of gas and quit that, didn't you? Why don't you get on your knees and say, God, I repent. I'm begging you, please, to put the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart that you had for these souls so that I can minister to these people and in so doing demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ that you had for me in my life, that I may demonstrate that love to them and really be able to love those people with faith. That's what Paul's telling the Ephesians. I love you. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't cook it up. He got that from God and he got it from Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? And then Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So you see the two greatest examples of love, God giving his Son and Jesus Christ giving his life. So Paul had that love in him and could communicate that to the Ephesians. And how about you? You need that. You need that. So pray and ask God to do the same thing in your heart that he did in Paul's heart. All right, and then what else do you need? Well, the last verse says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You need God's grace and sincere love of Jesus. That's what you need. See, Paul's basically saying, I'm asking God to give you grace if you love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, forget the grace. And if they don't love him in sincerity, forget it. They need a different kind of grace. They need the grace to get saved or the grace to get right. You need God's grace and sincere love of Jesus. As we said about the other thing, loving the brethren, it is easy to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I love you. But you know something? Jesus, here's the test. Here's the test. You knew that I would do this, right? Well, I don't mean to do it to be mean. I mean to do it to help you and me keep our hearts right with God. Jesus said, here's the test. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Well, how are you going to keep them if you're not reading them? Amen? If you're not in that book daily reading that word, if you're not sitting under good preaching and good teaching of the word of God and studying and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not keeping the word. I've talked to people before, and I say, how do you think you're supposed to get to heaven if you don't get to heaven by the death of Jesus Christ? I said, well, I think you ought to keep the commandments. I said, name them. They couldn't name them. Well, how are you going to keep them if you don't know what they are? And how are you going to keep the words if you don't know what they are? Listen, you don't love Jesus Christ if you don't love his book and if you're not in it. Not really. You say you do, but if you want to love him sincerely, get in the book. Get in the book. And God, through that, will give you grace because he said, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You need these things. I need these things. You need to be bold. You need to be an ambassador. You need friends in the ministry. You need to love the brethren and the people you minister to. You need God's grace and sincere love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you and I have something to pray about? You better believe we do. We need an answer to this prayer, just like Paul laid it out for him in the book of Ephesians.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.